Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Wednesday. And it seems like more times than just a handful, I've said wet Wednesdays. And it is right now. It's just starting.
That is the Weather Channel correspondent in downtown Montgomery, Alabama, right now, as a matter of fact, Bill.
Yep. Up on the screen. Looks pretty bad down around the coast right now, along the Gulf Coast, from Pensacola over toward, headed toward Tallahassee.
I saw vehicles inundated, footage with vehicles in Louisiana. I think it was the New Orleans area that had run into some flash floods and were submerged. So, yeah, some bad weather blowing through central Alabama tonight and tomorrow. So be vigilant and be careful because, even some stuff in the listening area is supposed to get some pretty nasty weather tonight.
Yeah, so just be prepared. Hopefully not. I know last time we were thinking something like that would happen. We were very fortunate. It just sort of blew over and a little north of us. But just because that happened, don't think that might be the case again. So be ready just in case.
It's not good.
No.
It's not good when you turn on the Weather Channel, right?
And they're 50 miles away in a direction that weather comes from.
The fella's talking to the camera, broadcasting live from about an hour from where you are, which is what we've got right now as storms moving from the Gulf Coast along to the Tennessee Valley. Bill, they're right at the
downtown.
That's Bibb, I believe, is the intersection there. They're near the what's the building that got turned into the Montgomery Advertiser's there now? The old department store, I believe, has been converted into office buildings over there.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it. I mean, it's about a block away from my old digs,
near the fountain,
there at the Colonial Building,
near the fountain downtown. Absolutely. Yeah, that's where I believe that's Michaels from the Weather Channel, who is broadcasting downtown in Montgomery right now. So be careful with some bad weather expected in the area over the next 12 hours or so.
We are here battened down. Well, not really. We're hopefully we're well protected. It's just started.
Should I close the window?
Not yet. I mean, it's just started in the last half hour or so. I just got some sod. I just got some sod put out. I timed that. I thought very well. Went and got some and got it before it rained because, you know, it can be a mess if you try to get it after it. And then hopefully it just sort of waters it in. But we're here with you on this Wednesday edition of The Drive. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. We'll check in with Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover here in just a few minutes. Get his thoughts on A-Day this past weekend. Basketball with the goings and who is going to be coming in. When we're talking about football, obviously we'll talk A-Day, but we'll talk about did Auburn get a commitment today? They were supposed to. Yes, they did. Cardae Smith, the big lineman from Dynamo Mobile, who was supposed
class
to.
Class of 25.
Yep. Another nice addition for the class of 25. We'll get Jason's thoughts on that. We'll get his thoughts on the new apparel deal with Nike. And then we'll talk some baseball, man. Another rough night last night. This time, it wasn't the pitching. Pitching was pretty darn good last night. A couple of pitches Zach Crotchfeldt would like to have back that were home runs. But Auburn falls 3-2 and only managed 5 hits last night against Alabama State. That is Alabama State's first win over a Power 5 program in 8 years.
Yeah, 2017 season, the last time they won one over.
And that brings their record to 14-16 It is a struggle right now. The Tigers really struggling. And 18-14 overall.
A loss that could be damaging if Auburn finds itself on the bubble in the NCAA tournament. It's a loss that hurts your computer numbers. And
Auburn's got to hold their breath and swim and fight like crazy to try to get to the top to be able to breathe from that bubble.
Oh, you're right.
They're deep.
That bubble is on the verge of bursting. You know, you gotta do everything you can, and Auburn is, you know, they've played themselves into a situation now where, I mean, conference play is not even half over, and it feels urgent. I mean, this weekend against Kentucky feels urgent if you're going to mount a, you know, if you're going to make a stand and try to push for a postseason spot in the second half of this season. And so with a white hot Kentucky team coming in, you've got to figure out a way to play your best baseball of the season. And yeah, frustrating start to a week that feels very important for Auburn as the Wildcats come in this weekend.
Yeah, and of course it's a Thursday through Saturday, so it'll get started, weather permitting, tomorrow, because I mean there's supposed to be a lot of heavy rain this evening and then showers at least early tomorrow. So I mean, if the rain moves on through, they'll be able to play because the field over there is very good at draining, but still could be a factor tomorrow.
I believe the weather once the afternoon comes along or so, the weather is supposed to be okay for baseball. Windy and overcast, but storms should have blown through by then. I think the question is, like you said, can
the field usually can handle it? I mean, there might be a spot or two in the outfield, but they've done a great job over there at Plainsman Park with the drainage.
But again, yeah, should be a lot of rain in the next 24 hours or so before that Auburn Kentucky series gets going tomorrow night. In Auburn, yeah, makes a I would call it urgent, right, Bill? I mean, this is a tough series to. I mean, if you come out, I mean, forget about a sweep. I mean, if you come out of this one 1-2, right, you're looking at 3-12 halfway through league play. And again, I would say the number
Then you need to win 10 out of 15 for sure in the second half.
Yeah, and that's a very
that's to get you to a maybe.
That's to get you alive going into the SEC tournament, right? I mean, right. So that's every game matters a lot, and every win matters a lot for Auburn baseball, especially after the disappointing loss last night to the visiting the visiting Hornets.
Well, let's see. For some reason, it took a day, but John Calipari is going to be Arkansas's next basketball coach.
Yep, flew into Fayetteville today. I think is the press conference going on right now?
I believe
the introductory thing. Yeah. So Calipari, former Kentucky head coach, multiple time conference champion, won a national championship early in his tenure at Kentucky. Had not been to the Final Four in nearly a decade.
Right. 2015, was that right?
I think 15 was the last one. So it's it's a shocking turn of events. You know, even though you felt like maybe the Kentucky and John Calipari relationship wasn't totally stable, you didn't think John Calipari was jumping to another SEC school anytime soon. But things turned quickly this weekend, and now John Calipari is the new head coach at Arkansas, and the question remains, you know, the questions as far as how is he going to do at Kentucky, at Arkansas, those are totally fair. You know, can he recruit?
Sure.
Can he recruit the same kind of players? Is the talk of an outsized, super-powered NIL package? You know, is that talk real, and will that materialize on the court with the kind of players? Calipari expressed. Not that NIL. I mean, not that recruiting was an issue necessarily at Kentucky, but it wasn't as though he was. Especially when you think about the veterans, right? Like they missed out on veterans in the portal. Maybe they'd prioritized freshmen. Maybe that was by Calipari's design. But we'll see what he does at Arkansas with a blank canvas and a lot of resources.
It sounds like a blank check.
Blank canvas and a blank check to try to attract talent to Fayetteville, and the question remains, you know, what is Kentucky going to do? Sounds like Scott Drew is in. I mean, what was Matt Jones?
Yeah.
Well, Matt Jones last night still. I mean, people are still trying to keep the Danny Hurley stuff alive, which seems. I don't know, Bill. I mean, I guess if we're in an era where LSU can poach Notre Dame's head coach in football, the thought that Kentucky can go get the two-time national champion from UConn and overpower him with a financial package, I'm skeptical.
I don't think it was just the money. I think being able to get some players into Notre Dame was a lot different than getting players into LSU and being in the Southeast where there's more talent. I don't know that there is that big an advantage of being at Kentucky. That what is there that Dan Hurley can't get at UConn?
That's what I am unconvinced by the arguments for why Dan Hurley should leave. People say, "Oh, they could pay him."
That just sounds like fans that,
or they could.
We want so we can get.
Yeah, but even folks who aren't necessarily Kentucky fans, I've heard this about, and I'm skeptical of them. unless you think that people no one should want to live in the Northeast. Right,
and I'm sure there are plenty of people that feel that way.
Yeah, that no one should want to live in the Northeast, and being a half hour from New York City, isn't all that important, and stuff like that. I get it, but I also would think that he's maybe found himself a home, and it's going to be tough for any college job to lure him away, especially with the who was the last person to win three straight?
Wooden.
I mean, you got to go back a long time.
Has there been anybody since John Wooden that's won three straight?
I think that's correct, right? So, I mean, you got to go back a long time, and he's on the verge of doing something that nobody's done in the modern era of college basketball. And I would think that to walk away from that, to walk away from winning a third straight out of school, I think would be a really tough thing for a coach to do as well. I get why Scott Drew would leave Baylor, even with the tenure he's had at Baylor. Mm-hmm. I get why Scott Drew would leave. I'm not terribly swayed by the arguments I've heard for why Dan Hurley should want to leave what he's built over these last couple of years at UConn and what he's got going now at UConn.
So what is the latest? What is the latest that you're hearing on the Kentucky job right now? Anything new, really?
Yeah, let me see. What
same old, same old.
I mean, Matt Jones is usually pretty good, right? With the Kentucky.
Well, he can tell you what they want.
Yeah.
He's really – I mean, he does have insight as to what the movers and shakers are thinking and what they would like.
Right. And so he tweeted out last night, like, Hurley, Drew, and Donovan were the names that he'd heard the most, and that Scott Drew apparently was some progress last night. So that was the I would think it sounds like Scott Drew. Like, we'll see. Again, there are mysteries about what with a private school, what sort of packages and what sort of financial implications there are. But I would think that Scott Drew at Baylor could be that's the name that seems like it's got the most steam at the moment.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll get to our first break. Jason Caldwell said he is good to go. We will check in with him. Stick with us. We're just underway here on the Wednesday Drive.
Inspired by the bold.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday. Yep, rain picking up a little bit more here in this area. Be ready. It's coming, looks like. So be prepared for that. Bill and Dan here in the studio. Drew at the controls, and we're now joined by our regular Wednesday partner, and that is Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover, joining us on the phone here this afternoon on the Drive Hotline. JC, how you doing?
I'm good. How about y'all?
Pretty good. Glad that, obviously with baseball Thursday through Saturday, you weren't going to play a Wednesday game. But, I mean, this would not be a good day to be trying to play ball.
No, or do much of anything. It's a good day to be hunkered down somewhere. And hopefully the severe weather stays to our south. It looks like it might. And, we're just going to have to deal with some weather and probably some flooding in a few places here, there. A lot of rain coming here in the next few hours.
Yeah, I mentioned a while ago. I got some sod to patch up a couple of places, put it down before the drops started falling. Now I just hope it doesn't wash away with so much rain. Oh, quite a few things going on. I don't know. Let's start with the apparel deal with Auburn. This had been out there and. Not just rumored. I mean, folks were expecting Auburn to make the move to Nike. Just to give us your thoughts on this becoming a reality.
Yeah, definitely been expecting it. Was just told, hey, look, it's basically it's not done until it's done, and you got to get to the finish line, and so that was the goal for them. But I think from an Auburn perspective, it had to make sense monetarily. First of all, that was going to be the key. If people have wondered, you're not going to take less money just to sign with Nike. That was not going to be an option. And so for Auburn, it had to make sense monetarily. And then, how does it impact you? Make sure you're going to be able to get your athletes taken care of, all those things. So I think once those things were worked out, then it became a matter of, okay, can you get the deal done? And I don't think there's any question that some connections from Auburn with Nike help this process along. But it's a big deal. But it's the crazy thing now is that you're still in a relationship for a year before you're divorced and a new marriage. That's a strange place to be in now, with still one full year of Under Armour left before you move on. And so you have to make sure that, hey, you get everything you need, but you don't kind of trash them on the way out and cause some issues. So you can't talk up your new suitor quite yet a whole lot, and that's why we've seen this kind of low key a little bit, I think.
What are the benefits of being a Nike program in this day and age of college athletics?
Yeah, I don't know that there's a massive benefit other than it is Nike, and I think from a footwear perspective, it's a huge step. Overall, I don't think it's a huge thing. Here's what I don't think there's one negative thing about it. That's the thing. I think. In basketball, I think it's probably a benefit. I don't know that it's as much as it was 15, 20 years ago, but I still think it's a benefit. NIL has kind of replaced some of those things a little bit, to be quite honest. But I think the benefit is that it's just something that I think Under Armour had its moment. It had its time. But the steadiness and the place that Nike's been in for years and years and years, I think, has just more value, and I think that's a big part of things now.
So, yeah, that will take effect after this upcoming school year, so it'll be one more year of Under Armour. There's been talk about this for a long time about how, and you're right, Jason, it is almost always more basketball than football that's been talked about as far as affecting recruiting. Auburn's done a more than respectable job recruiting basketball wise. So anything that it's obviously not going to hurt. So that's good. I mean, and I'm sure that this is when we get all the details, it's going to be something that is very beneficial for Auburn.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned it, and there was a former coach that basically said, no, you can't win because you're Under Armour school. And I was never in that camp. I said from the get-go, look, you can with the right person. And Auburn has won with the right person in place and has won a lot. Now you get a chance to maybe improve it even more. Does it guarantee you're going to make Final Fours and win national championships? No, it doesn't. Does it, I think, help you in the recruiting process in certain moments? I think it does. And so because of that, yes, this is something that only benefits you moving forward. From a football perspective, the big thing for me is footwear. I just think that it's been an issue in several sports, and I think the Nike footwear is 40 years ahead, 50 years ahead almost of where Under Armour is. That's a lot of trial and error and a lot of things that have been corrected over the years. And so I think as much as anything from a footwear perspective, I think that's where this one is one that'll have a big impact.
Well, speaking of recruiting, it's not, it's not, it, it, well, Sure it is. The transfer portal is recruiting. Auburn definitely in the market for at least one point guard, with the news coming out that Aiden Holloway is entering the transfer portal following the news last week that Trey Donaldson was.
Yeah, I think we talked about it last week, and I said, look, just because Trey Donaldson's in doesn't mean Aiden Holloway won't go in either, and that's exactly what happened. You just don't know. You don't. And how much does NIL impact it? How much do other things? I mean, there's so many things involved. I think you have to have two, to be quite honest.
I agree.
I think even if Todd Pettiford's a guy that can play some point, do some things, then you're talking about whether you're taking him away. Denver Jones can play the point if you need him to. But I think you need to have two legitimate point guards to give yourself as many ball handlers as possible, guys that can play that and potentially play the two as well. I think those are good positions to be in. So I think if you're Auburn, that you got to try to find a couple of players at that position moving forward. We'll see what happens with Janai Broom and Dylan Cardwell. It's been really quiet from their perspective, and also quiet from Auburn's perspective, going out and pursuing big guys, which may give you a little hint as to maybe where this thing could be headed. Obviously, it'd be huge if Auburn were to get one or both those guys back. But I think it right now you look and you go, I think you got to have a couple of guards. And obviously, they've already had one visitor, JP Pegues, potentially could maybe have a visitor this weekend. I don't know if that's set in stone, but I think you need a couple of guys.
It'll be really interesting. I mean, word that Janai and Dylan yesterday practicing with Auburn, that can't be bad news.
No, and, you know, we saw them out there actually when we did our video with Chad Beck-Mazar last week. They were both around, in and out, still around. And obviously for them, while you're making the decision, you're still working out. You're still doing those things. So that could be some of that as well. But, yeah, it's definitely not bad news for Auburn that those guys are still there. What does it do? I think for Auburn, you look and you go, sooner or later, you know, we talked about last week. I think the earlier somebody can make a decision, the better off you are, because you've got to know and you got to have time to go out and pursue guys, depending on what your needs are. And I think obviously at point guard, that's already happened. I think you know you're probably going to need another power forward. But if both those guys return, you still probably need another big man to get started preparing for the next season. If possible, maybe a younger, talented guy that's ready to come in and maybe can play the four and the five, do some different things. I mean, there are some holes, but you do have some spots available, too.
It'll be tough to recruit big men who have, you know, their eyes on playing time in 2024 if Auburn retains Janai,
yeah, I think Janai and Dylan. I think you could get a 4 or 5. I think you could get a guy that says, you're going to play some of the four. We're our 4 or 5 interchangeable kind of positions. I think that's something that maybe you could sell it in that. And honestly, Auburn needs probably a bigger four at times. Jalen Williams wasn't the biggest four. Chaney Johnson's not the biggest four. Probably wouldn't be, you know, if you could find a bigger four to give you some of those looks, that might be a good fit to kind of give you a little bit of a five look too.
It was out of character for Bruce to split time at the point guard position the way he did this year based on the last couple of seasons. I mean, Jared Harper played a lot of minutes when he was Auburn's point guard.
Wendell Green played
Javon McCormick. Javon McCormick took over and played 30-plus minutes a game in that 2020 season. Sharif Cooper, when he was out there, played a lot of minutes. You know, it seems like Bruce wants, you know, traditionally Bruce has wanted a QB1. At the point guard position, a guy who's going to play the lion's share of the minutes and be be the guy with the ball at the end of the game. Do you feel like JP Pegues or Miles Rice, the two point guards that Auburn has been linked to the most in the portal, according to reports, do you feel like those two guys would fit the bill of what Bruce is looking for in a starting quarterback?
Yeah, I think so. Excuse me, I think so. I think that's what you're looking for. You're right. I think it's the one position that you start to look at. And, heck, even looking down the road a little bit, I think you look at especially when you get in the NCAA tournament, maybe you start to streamline a little bit and go, look, instead of having 10 or 11, are you better off having 7 really good players? and maybe not having as much depth. And we saw that in the NCAA tournament. The teams that made runs weren't the deepest teams. You know, most of those teams played a lot of guys a lot of minutes because of the breaks you get and the extra time you get in the NCAA tournament. Maybe focus on more quality, smaller roster. I don't know. But I do think at point guard, I think ideally you would like to have that player that you say, hey, I trust them to go out there and play 35 minutes a game. And I don't think that was the case with Auburn this year. And therefore, they went back and forth, gave both guys some runs. Some games it was Trey Moore, some games it was Aiden Moore. And, yeah, ideally, I think you'd like to have that one guy that you count on to run the show for your team.
Hey, it's going to be interesting. I mean, the portal's open. I mean, have you ever seen – well, I guess we have seen some crazy things, but what a crazy turn of events that Dan mentioned this the other day. It all started with SMU looking for a coach and hiring Andy Enfield from Southern Cal, who then gets Eric Musselman from Arkansas, who now has John Calipari from Kentucky. Is that – I mean, that's about as crazy as it gets.
It is. It all started for a program that has had very, very little basketball success ever in SMU. Started a chain reaction
right
to now impacting some of the most influential programs in the country. It's just – it is. It's wild. Here's the thing. There's no question that NIL impacted this as well, especially from a John Calipari thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kentucky is a school that you can recruit at a very high level. There's no question about that. We heard Calipari throughout the season talking about youth and talking about things. And to me, I wonder if it's forcing him to go, I got to change the way I do things. And, okay, how much – okay, Arkansas, yeah. They got a bunch of NIL money. He's taking less money to go to Arkansas because there's more NIL money opportunities on the back end for that program. I think it shows you how some of these things are being done. Not really a fan of it. I understand it. It is the way of the world right now. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right that that's how rosters are going to be built. You know, UConn hasn't done a ton of that, a little bit. Purdue didn't do a ton of it. But you look at elsewhere and you go, like, most everywhere else is two or three or four transfers and impact players doing those things. We've seen guys now three or four or five different schools. I think it's made it really difficult. And obviously people still watch the NCAA tournament. But I think the lack of, and we talked about it, familiarity, especially in basketball, I think is going to continue to have a gradual impact on people watching the game. It's had that on me, and I'm a huge college basketball fan. It impacted my viewing when I don't know who's on what team. And I think we're going to see more and more of that as the NIL continues to grow.
Talking with Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover. JC, how long can you stick with us?
I'm good for another one.
All right. We will get to our bottom of the hour break. Yes, we've got A-Day and baseball. Football and football recruiting and more to get to. So stick with us as we continue with Jason Caldwell here on the Wednesday Drive.
AU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Wednesday. Yep, it's definitely raining a little harder than it was a while ago, and that's going to continue. Hey, we had beautiful weather Saturday for A-Day, Jason. That was such a nice, such a nice change from a year ago when it was just miserable. And good crowd there on hand. I know it's a spring game, and it's hard to take a lot of things away from it, but there were some interesting takeaways. I'd love to hear yours.
Yeah, I think the first thing that you kind of always remind folks, and I mean, we've been doing it for a long time, and you still have to remind them that, look, there's no scheming going on, especially offensively and really defensively, too. There's no scheming going on, and you're not scheming the defense. So it's hard to do a whole lot other than find a guy that makes a play or two. And we saw that wide receiver. Obviously, Cam Coleman made some plays. I thought Robert Lewis and Camden Brown and, Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
I thought we saw some plays made from that wide receiver group. And so that was, to me, was the thing that I thought, okay, start there. But I thought the secondary group was really good. That's an athletic bunch of guys. Defensive line was probably the better part of the day, and I thought they did a good job. And, again, it comes back to scheme a little bit. Auburn didn't try to fool them a whole lot, played straight ahead. And you can see the aggressiveness of a DJ Durkin defense, even in a spring game. Saw them and the energy that they brought, did some of those things. But thought that was fun to watch. And so, overall, you know, when you talk about spring game, it honestly, from a coaching standpoint, that was probably about as good as it gets because both sides had their moments. What you don't want is it to be 55-0 either way. You want both sides to show a little bit, have a little fight, do those things. I thought it was a pretty good building block and a good finish for them in the spring.
Yeah, I mean, we saw, without question, two local products really showed out. Cam Coleman had a spectacular catch and then a really, really good catch and showed his ability to track the ball and then his ability to use his physicality to get into the end zone with a touchdown. And then Towns Magoo. What a day for the Auburn High product. 7-for-7 on field goals, including a game-winning 58-yarder that would have been good from another 10 yards.
Yeah, no. The two least surprising things of the day for me were watching those two guys after watching them a bunch the last few years. Yeah, Cam Coleman is, you know, I've said it, his ball skills are the things that make him elite. You can be big and fast, and there's been big guys and there's been fast guys. But big and fast with elite ball skills is when it starts to separate, and that's what he has. And when you saw some of those things on Saturday, a little overthrown, he goes and gets it. Underthrown, he comes back and gets it. Those are two things that wide receivers do when they're game-changing type wide receivers. You make those types of plays because not every ball is going to be thrown perfectly. You got to help out your quarterback, and that's what we've been saying. They haven't had those types of guys to help out a quarterback in the last few years. Cam did that Saturday, and then Towns Magoo's the guy that, you know, we talked about it. For Auburn, your kicking position was in great shape, but you absolutely could not let that guy go anywhere else. You just couldn't do it. And mm-hmm. Auburn,
you
was
saw
able
why.
To make it.
Yeah.
That, and people found out why. And he still just kicked a couple of years. I mean, he hasn't been a guy that's kicked his entire life. He was a soccer guy. But he has worked. It's natural, too, in that, man, he just knows how to kick. But just tremendous leg. The interesting thing is right now, say, hey, I want a red shirt. I want to be the guy in a couple of years. Alex McPherson didn't miss a kick last year with that name. Could be a draft guy after 3 years. And then you have a guy like Towns Magoo ready to take over the next one. And it looks like Auburn's continued to do what they've done, which is was have that replacement plan in place to slide the next kicker in and not miss a beat. And that looks to be the case with Towns Magoo.
I believe it was after the A-Day game when Hugh Freeze indicated that if Auburn goes in the portal, it could be adding a veteran on the defensive line. It could be adding someone to the wide receiver room, which I thought was an interesting comment because they've made steps to add talent to this wide receiver room already this offseason. But I don't think that's a position where Hugh Freeze thinks you can have enough guys who can help you.
Yeah, correct. You know, we talked about it before. I think it absolutely would have to be somebody that has done it and been successful at a Power 5 high-level institution for you to make that move. I think we saw last year going out and getting guys that had been successful, but at lower levels did not equate in the Southeastern Conference a year ago. And so I think if you find somebody, that having somebody in for the spring is different, whether it be, you know, Robert Lewis, somebody – having the ability to come in, and you're talking about trying to step in without a spring practice. We saw how difficult that was last year. So I think at that position in this offense, it'd have to be somebody that has played in an RPO system, transition-wise would be a good move, all those things. So I think it'd be the right fit or the perfect person for Auburn to go make a move like that. I do think defensive line. I think defensive line, edge rusher, those are the spots you look at. Auburn looks like they're going to get a visit from an Indiana defensive lineman here maybe in the next couple of weeks or so. I wouldn't be shocked to see a couple of more interior defensive linemen and then maybe another true pass rush type. But I did think one of the most pleasing thing parts of the day was Brent Williams, Opelika, making some plays and showing that, hey, maybe he's ready to help out there a little bit more than people might have expected. Obviously, you got Jamonte Waller, and you have
Joe Phillips too, right? Is that in that group?
Yeah, Joe Phillips, and you have some
a lot of young guys.
Yes, and so there between that and that defensive end spot, you have some serious young talent. Do you go out and say, hey, we need to have another experienced guy in case Jalen McLeod were to go down, to have somebody, a one-year guy? Again, I think it's the right fit if you go get an edge. It's the right fit if you go get a wide receiver. I think you're going to go get an interior defensive lineman or two.
Yeah, what a vote of confidence it would be in the young players behind McLeod if they don't add to that room between now and the start of the season, you know, thinking that those guys could, you know, whether it's Brenton Williams or the true freshman could give Auburn quality snaps at that spot, even in the event of McLeod being unavailable. And as for what you said something really interesting at receiver as far as Auburn sort of rethinking the strategy of you know, the receivers they brought in last season versus this season. I'm encouraged, even if some of the additions from the group of five or the FCS did not pay off for Auburn at receiver last year, I'm encouraged by what I've seen so far from Robert Lewis. And it does seem like his game is a little bit different, where he's not hooks and shorter seem like they were trying to overpower guys, which can work more until you get to the SEC. And then it's a little bit tougher to do that with SEC defensive backs. I feel like Robert Lewis is a slightly more classic receiver in that he's going to try to use finesse and speed to get himself open.
Yeah, I agree. Before we go, I got to mention Morris Williams, too, because he's just a freak and a guy that really came on in the spring, another one of those true freshman guys that can play edge, can play defensive end. So Morris Williams is definitely a guy there, too. But, yeah, I think the wide receiver, you see the difference in having guys in for a spring and allowing them to kind of find their footing in an offense and build some rapport instead of, okay, we're going to throw everybody together. You got a couple of weeks to get ready for a season. You just can't really do that. It's almost impossible. And we saw Auburn really struggle trying to fit all those pieces together last year. They didn't have any choice. They had to do it, but it just didn't work out. Robert Lewis is smart, really quick. Sam Jackson, obviously with the Peyton Thorne connection, you know, kind of seamlessly transition back to wide receiver. It looks like he's going to be a dynamic guy. But, yeah, you could see the veteran side of things from those two guys allowing them to come in and make that much of an impact, you know, throughout 15 practice days.
Yeah, no question. Before we get off football, Auburn picking up a commitment, another big commitment, literally, today on the offensive line for next year.
Yeah, Cardi Smith. Myself and Christian Clemente drove to Mobile last night, met with Carday and his family and Antonio Coleman, former Auburn pass rusher. We're at Ladd People Stadium at 8 o'clock this morning. So
we
talked to him, got video, photos, all those things, and then got out of there before the storms hit in the Mobile area, got home in time. So worked out perfectly. But yeah, he announced today a guy that was probably 6'4", you know, 265, 270, when we saw him about a year and a half ago for the first time. And now he's 6'5", 6'6", about 290 pounds, and still looks thin, like a power forward. And it's exactly what you want offensive tackles to look like when they're in high school. This is a guy that will put on good weight, really flexible bending. But, you know, AC told us, look, this kid has only played 1 year of football since the eighth grade. He played growing up but didn't play again until he got back to being a junior in high school. So he's still raw athletic, but he bends and smart kid. You can't ever have enough of these guys. And for a long time, Auburn, not only did they not have enough, they didn't have any. And now you're starting to see the benefits and fruits of the labor of Hugh Freeze and Jake Thornton going, look, we're going to make the offensive line a priority. And it's shown up from transfers and recruiting last year, and now in this 25 class, they're still continuing to move forward pretty strongly.
Yeah, no question. I know we're short. You've got to run, but baseball, I can't say anything other than it's must win time for Auburn. And they've got some questions they've got to get answered here and get it done soon.
Yeah, no, you never say you never want to say it's must win, but you're at that point. 3-12 would be, I mean, 4-11 would be really tough to overcome. We saw Auburn do it last year at 5-10.
Mm-hmm.
3-12 would be next to impossible, especially right now with the way you're playing.
It's not easy. It's not easy at 4-11. But 3-12.
No, but it's tougher.
Like this.
Yeah,
correct. But winning a couple and getting building a little momentum, doing some things would give you a little bit of a boost. But you know, you're right. It's uphill. I mean, and now you go, hey, another top 10, the hottest team, not only in the league, but one of the hottest teams in the country in Kentucky. The way they're playing, they're 11-1 in SEC
right.
play. It'll be the fifth straight top 10 team Auburn's played. But you know what? Anybody in this league feel sorry for you because everybody faces tough opponents, and that's just what you sign up for. Got to find some consistency on the mound. It'd be great for them to get a couple of starts, to get them, you know, 5 or 6 innings. Right now, they can't get past the second.
No,
and
that's
it makes it almost impossible to cover enough innings on the weekend. And questions with Bobby Pierce and Ike Irish.
Yeah, I was wondering if you'd heard anything.
I haven't heard anything today. I know they're supposed to meet with the specialist today to check on hands. Even if you get good news, that it still probably means that you might be out for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm guessing right now that you're probably going to this weekend without one or more of you know, your most important players. And so these freshmen, you know, Kay Ballou, and I now wouldn't be surprised to see Cole Edwards, another freshman, you know, get some opportunities from the right side and try to you know, get some of these young guys in the mix. You're going to have to pitch it much better, no matter what happens
right.
offensively. But it puts a lot of pressure on Cooper McMurray in the middle of this lineup to kind of carry the load for this team. So I have to have some other guys step up for them to have a shot against a really hot Kentucky team.
Every game in this series might not be must win, but we probably can talk to the guys at Wings 94.3 and play Urgent by Foreigner before the broadcast, because it certainly
no question. Like especially you start talking about, you know, if you get a couple of wins, it wouldn't, and it, honestly, it's a much better matchup. Even though they're 11-1, Arkansas, the two teams with the best records they played this year were the best matchups for Auburn. Arkansas at 11-1, Kentucky's 11-1, because neither one of those teams are teams that are going to hit 10-12 home runs. A&M, Tennessee, this team needs to have those 4-3, 5-3, and be able to not have to worry about throwing perfect pitches against teams that launch it out of the yard. Kentucky doesn't have a ton of offense. They're pretty good, but it ain't like Tennessee last weekend, but they pitch it really well. Can you go scratch and claw? You know, bunt, move runners over. Auburn's got to do all those things really well this weekend.
No question. Jason, really appreciate you spending a little time with us. Let everybody know what's coming up and how folks can access everything there with Auburn Undercover and following you.
Yeah, check us out at auburnundercover.com, part of the 24/7 network, and can also follow me on Twitter at ITATJ.
All right, JC, appreciate it, man. Have a good day.
Thanks, guys.
Jason Caldwell joining us here on the Wednesday Drive. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join in. You can give us a call on the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar, that number 334-321-1390.
Or you can text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast.
We're right back with more of the Wednesday Drive.
The Orthopedic Clinic asks
at AU.com to be a part of the Drive. Call 334-321-1390.
We are out of time for hour number one. Thought that probably would be the case, but wanted to get as much time as we could with Jason Caldwell. We've got the phone lines wide open, though, for hour number two, as far as I know. We don't have anything special in the
guests? Wide open second hour here on a Wednesday.
All right, so we'd love to hear from you as we... step aside for our top of the hour break, then come back with hour number two of the Wednesday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and hour number two of the Drive brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. We'd love for you to join in. We're wide open. You can give us a call on the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar. 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. As we appreciate, and we're available on your favorite podcasting platform, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center. Shout out to everybody at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Let's get to the Drive hotline, because Spectre is ready to go. Hey, Spectre.
Hey, Spectre.
Hey, guys, I sure wanted to ask Brian a couple of questions, but he can't call in when he's on the line. Is that correct?
Well, no, usually Jason's here with us. He had been down in Mobile today for the commitment and was just getting back in town, so he wasn't able to be with us. Yeah, when we do that, sometimes it works, but we also run the risk of cutting one or both of y'all.
It doesn't sound great, so we try not to conference people in when we have a guest on the phone.
Yeah, I know. You guys are in the 21st century, right?
That's true, but that may not mean that all of our technology is.
We also want to maximize. We also want to maximize our time with our guests, right, and not give time to riffraff.
Understood. Hey, listen, I was going to ask him, why isn't the rosters updated on Undercover?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, we got updated rosters during spring practice, and you're talking football or basketball?
Well, either or, mainly football.
Yeah, they should. I'm surprised that they're not, because Nathan King does a great job. He, as a matter of fact, I know has already broken down. I saw he broke down the defensive and special teams depth charts yesterday, and I believe he was where I expected the offense to be there. I hadn't had a chance to look today.
Well, I went on there just to get the correct spelling of Magoo or Magood.
Yeah, MCGOUGH.
McGough.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he's not on the roster, and neither is Coleman.
Huh. Well, maybe I guess they haven't added the freshman. You can go. I'll tell you where you can go. You can just go to AuburnTigers.com, and that's got the updated roster with all the players who have been here this spring.
Yeah, and when the university, whenever there's an update, it's posted to the university's roster, and then we all sort of go from there and update our own personal ones.
Yeah. The other question I was going to ask him, since we're dropping Under Armour, is that Undercover? Is that part of Under Armour?
No,
they just both start with the word under.
Just thought it, yeah, it was a neat name.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, great. Gotcha. Okay. I thought about the what I was going to ask you the other day, and I forgot about it. And it was Dylan Wade. I noticed he moved inside the guard, right?
Right. That is right.
First play of scrimmage, he took up where he left off last year.
He jumped on the first play, didn't he?
Yes. That poor guy. I think he's got some bad voodoo or something.
Yeah, they really like his potential at guard, though. They really feel like that's the place he has a chance to keep playing after college.
Yeah, I just hope that doesn't carry over into the fall.
Oh, no, of course.
Yeah. But anyway, I think that's all I had. I just wanted to touch base with Brian to find out what was going on with the rosters.
Brian is with Rivals, and he's on Monday. Jason is with 24/7.
Yeah, maybe they don't update the actual.
They're good friends, though, so that's okay.
The most updated roster I see from the Auburn Undercover website is from the 2023 season. So maybe they wait until we're closer to the start of the season before updating the actual roster.
Maybe they wanted to wait until after the transfer portal, which opens up in a week.
That's another question I want to ask about the portal.
I think Auburn's going to have. I wouldn't be surprised somewhere 6 to 10 players leave, and I would expect them to try to replace those with not quite as many players as Lee, but I would think Auburn would be in the market for five or six.
Any top names that's on top of your head
that are going to leave?
Yeah.
I tell you one thing that's really been
more
interesting.
More positions than players, right?
I keep hearing that the entire running back room might not be back.
That's what I do wonder if even in an era where running backs aren't as desperate to be the only guy who plays, I do wonder if someone other than Jarquez might think that there's a chance for more playing time in 2024. Somewhere else, and so yeah, I'd be worried about holding on to Damari and Jeremiah Cobb and Brian Battee. Battee went in the portal and then backed out earlier this year, but is eligible to all of them are eligible to leave if they want to. I would think maybe quarterback beyond Peyton Thorne, maybe one of those
sure.
three guys could
be shocked.
Could see their path for playing time, short term and long term, doesn't look great. And they could look elsewhere. Other than that, nobody really jumps out because so many of these guys joined the team in the last year or two.
Bill, did I hear you correctly? You said the entire running back room?
No, I said
the entire running back room might not be back.
It might not be back intact.
Yeah, so you might lose one from that room.
All right, good.
No, absolutely not saying that. No, that would be a story.
Yeah.
Yes, it would. All right, guys. Not sure. We'll see you later.
All right. Appreciate the call.
The room might not be back entirely.
Yes.
The entire room.
Yeah, that's a better way to put that. 334.
False alarm.
Yeah, 334-321-1390. And let's get back to the Drive hotline. And Tex is up next. Hey, Tex.
Hey, Tex.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
All right.
So, Dan, are you a fan of the Big Bang Theory?
You know, I'm more of a Young Sheldon guy. Than a Big Bang Theory guy. I'll be honest with you. I find Young Sheldon to be a cute, very watchable show. Big Bang Theory is a little too sitcom-y for me. But
yeah, I don't watch cute shows. I watch good shows. So you're wrong. So I was just thinking Sheldon's bazinga when you said don't let Riff Raff in.
Well, but you know what? Right, we both enjoy our Sheldon in just different and different.
Different
and
eras.
I would never use
yes.
Cute to describe a show.
Bill, would you describe Young Sheldon as a cute show? You've seen episodes of it.
Yeah.
It's cutesy.
Yeah, it was a little too cute for
it's,
me.
Yeah, yeah. I get it.
Hey, I got a couple questions. So I've been thinking about it. It's tax season, so I'm so far behind in anything sports-related, basically. But help, if somebody from the outside is listening and hears that we kicked 7 field goals and scored 1 touchdown, why would we be excited about the offense?
You wouldn't. You would think that there's a problem there. I don't think that Auburn ran everything that they have in their arsenal offensively. Plus, I think the defense is used to seeing what they've been seeing from the Auburn offense.
That's the other side of the coin with a spring game, right? Because
right.
if Auburn had 6 touchdowns and 6 field goals, there'd be concern about whether or not
with
Auburn,
the defense.
Yeah,
oh yeah.
We'd be wondering if Auburn's gonna be able to stop anybody when football gets going in a couple months.
But that's a much better ratio than 1-1-7. It's just interesting. So anyway.
But don't you think Auburn's going to be able to run the ball better than they did Saturday? I mean, Auburn could. Auburn ran the ball pretty well last year, and I think the backs should be as good or better, and the offensive line, I believe, is better.
Well, ran the ball against stacked boxes too, so I think that if we develop any kind of passing game, it's going to free it up even more. So I agree with you 100% there. Anyway, I had somebody ask me. This graduate of another school asked me that question.
Yeah, well, again, it's a spring game. How good did the offense look? I mean, when Auburn has had great offenses, the offenses haven't necessarily looked great in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Well, and technically, it's not a game.
Yep, it was a situation. It was multiple situations that were scrimmaged.
Yes. So, interestingly,
and how's the weather been down there?
It's been beautiful since 11:30.
Yeah, I was going to say we're looking at some video at Slidell. It doesn't look too pretty there.
Yeah, it skid. It for some reason, it may be all the chemicals through all the chemical plants going up in the air. Hard rains, not real. The winds weren't as bad as they expected here. It kind of went north and east of us and kind of went around us. So here we were okay. Slidell, I mean, they're so close to the ocean when it's coming off there. They or actually the Gulf of Mexico, that it's tough on them. So
right.
It's sure there's it. Trees down in Baton Rouge, but nothing like what you're seeing in other places. I'm more worried about a residence that might be about 35, 40 minutes.
Yeah, I hear you. You want it to go south of Auburn for sure.
I know someone. Yeah, I know someone equally concerned.
I understand. So, anyway, my last question would be, or actually, I had somebody that I spoke to in Jacksonville, and had asked me about my opinion of the team just from the beginning of the season to that. And I thought that we didn't pitch as well as I thought we would pitch.
No, you're right. So, absolutely right about that.
And they said, no, you're crazy. They thought it was the hitting. And then our hitting came around. And it's interesting watching all three games on this past weekend in person. Good at-bats, bad at-bats. But I think I even said it yesterday. I think our patterns are somewhat predictable. Or they're stealing signs. And how they can steal signs when it's all coming over technology, I have no idea. But they swung the bat at us as if they knew exactly what was coming.
Oh, you're right.
And the only way they can in today's game using that technology is to me, would be a pattern. And then last but not least, Coach Thompson after the game last night. Oh, well, I'm going to ask you a question about is that coach at Alabama State the guy that originally came from Florida A&M?
Yes. He came down from Florida. I believe it was Florida A&M. Yes.
He was with Florida A&M where he continually beat Florida State, Florida,
yes,
and Miami while he was at Florida A&M. But there's no reason we should lose that ball game.
No.
Anyway,
you're right.
But I heard Coach Thompson after the game say something about maybe one of the key hitters in the lineup that wasn't in last night may be out longer than short term.
Well,
any idea?
Well, I will say this, Brian Matthews posted earlier that both Bobby and Ike's checkups on their hands, wrists, whatever, came back positive, and they could be available this weekend. So I think that's really,
okay, good.
Really
okay.
Good news.
Okay, all right, that is extremely good news.
Yes.
All right, you know, Bobby hadn't had the year we expected, especially after the year he had last year. But I would think that you want Ike in every lineup that you can get him in.
No question.
And because he's not going to be around much longer.
Mm-hmm.
And next year will be his last year, I'm pretty positive. All right. Well, Sheldon and Bill, I appreciate you taking the phone call. So, I'm sorry, young Sheldon.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
All right, guys. Y'all take care.
All right, Tex. Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. We'll get to our first break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the Kentucky job and something that, I mean, Bruce Pearl's name is continually being mentioned, and it's not just by Alabama folks. I heard one response with, oh, it's just Alabama people that are saying that. Well, maybe these folks are Alabama folks, but interesting that we have not heard anything from Coach Pearl. We'll get to our first break. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
My joints aren't what they used to be. Routine exercise, playing ball outside with the kids, riding bikes on vacation.
The Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. 18 minutes after 5 o'clock on a rainy Wednesday afternoon. Hope that's all it turns out to be, is just rainy. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. And, all right, official today, John Calipari to Arkansas. He'd already said goodbye to Kentucky. There's been a lot of speculation about who's Kentucky's next head coach.
There has not been a clear denial from Dan Hurley in a couple of opportunities, although he laughed off the notion that he'd be leaving.
And said, ask my wife.
And then Cowherd tried to get him to offer something firmer than that on the show today, and he talked about how his focus right now is on a third national championship at UConn.
Which is not a denial. So, yes, that is something. Now, on the other hand, Scott Drew, who a lot of people felt was the top name atop the list. He has shown himself in a Mexican restaurant?
Yes, earlier today, Baylor head coach Scott Drew posted a picture of himself eating in a Mexican restaurant in Waco with a Baylor booster, and it would seem to be in response to rumors that he was in Lexington meeting with Kentucky.
Right.
Today.
Coaches don't have to do that anymore. I mean, there are ways of having face-to-face without being, you know, there on location.
So let's sum up with the three names we talked about. Okay, so Dan Hurley, I've got the quote from the Colin Cowherd show today. What would you say if Kentucky – Colin Cowherd asked him specifically, what would you say if Kentucky wanted to double your salary? And made an offer that was overwhelming financially. Dan Hurley's response, quote, "It's flattering. I've come a long way since being a high school coach. I've had to work my way up the ladder. It's certainly flattering, but I have a long career of turning down jobs and more money. Right now at UConn, the opportunity for a three-peat is the only thing on anyone's minds. I just don't see that being a thing right now," unquote. That's what Dan Hurley said in response to what would you do if a school like Kentucky came along and offered to double your salary. Scott Drew reportedly weighing a decision about whether or not he wants to leave everything he's built at Baylor.
And he's been there 18 years?
Yes. I think it's more than that. I want to say 03 was his first year.
I don't know why I was thinking 18.
Yeah, I want to say
we're there a long time.
I think we might be in the plus 20 years with Scott Drew at Baylor, but it does not appear he made any sort of trip to Lexington today, at least. And one would think that a picture like that, too. Again, it's not as overt as what Nate Oates posted. Committing to Alabama for at least one more season. But it's the sort of thing a coach that's not leaving does, right? Like you could if Scott Drew were seriously considering leaving Baylor for Kentucky, maybe he would be quiet right now, which brings us to Bruce Pearl,
who hasn't been.
I mean, there hasn't been any. Oh yeah, I guess you should also mention Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan's coaching the Chicago Bulls. They are as of now in the play-in tournament, so the Bulls would be the Bulls are in the NBA playoffs at the moment, even though they would have to win the convoluted. You're a 10 seed, and you got to win a game to get to the. So the Bulls, and I think that starts next week, right, Drew? The play-in tournament for the NBA, I think so. So Billy Donovan has, if Kentucky wants Donovan and Donovan doesn't want to leave the Bulls before their season is over, they would have to wait at least one more week before Billy Donovan is finished coaching games with the Chicago Bulls. I think Kentucky could wait a week.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think a week would be the
if you were staring down the prospect of a long playoff run into May or June, then maybe that would be tougher for Kentucky to wait on a coach to do that. But if Billy Donovan would be more available in a week or 2 weeks, there's no guarantee the Bulls want Billy Donovan back. They might be going in a different direction. So there's a lot of things that could happen there. So Scott Drew, Dan Hurley, Billy Donovan, the names you hear the most. Scott Drew is the one who's had the most steam in the last couple of hours with people thinking, was he in Lexington? He posts that picture. Anyways, Bruce Pearl's name. However,
Bruce Pearl's name has been mentioned, and it's not just been by people who usually aren't in the know.
It's not trolls.
No,
it's not nameless.
It is some respected college basketball.
Yeah, it's
personalities.
It's not first name bunch of numbers on Twitter with like Brody Croyle as his profile picture, right? Like it's media members. I mean, let's take a look at the Athletic. The first list they had the night John Calipari was linked to Arkansas, the list they published Sunday night, Monday morning had Bruce Pearl's name on it. Seth Greenberg, ESPN basketball analyst Seth Greenberg was on the Greeny, the Get Up show. He was on Get Up. yesterday morning, and he said that if Kentucky can't get Dan Hurley or Scott Drew, he listed a bunch of reasons why Bruce Pearl would be an excellent candidate for Kentucky based on what he's accomplished so far. Let me see if I can find the exact quote from I'll give you the quote from Seth Greenberg about the Kentucky opening and why Bruce Pearl in his mind would be among the best fits. You've got, because it was Seth Greenberg said, if it's not Hurley and it's not Donovan, the best fit for Kentucky, in my opinion, is Bruce Pearl. He brings all the energy, the passion, the ownership. He's a brilliant coach. He's had success at Tennessee. He's had incredible success at Auburn. Bruce Pearl has the energy you need to deal with the Big Blue Nation. He's not a good coach. He's a great coach. He's won at hard places. He's missed no steps in his coaching career, unquote. That was Seth Greenberg, ESPN analyst. There's also from the paper in Lexington, Kentucky.com, the Herald leader, Mark Story,
right,
wrote a piece advocating for why Bruce Pearl should be the top candidate.
Yeah, he said one name should top UK's list.
One name should top UK's list is the headline of the Mark Story piece for Kentucky.com. Here are the reasons. Five qualities Kentucky should be looking for in its next men's basketball coach. A coach who understands modern basketball, comfortable with an analytics-driven approach that features an open lane, a heavy reliance on the three-point line, and a fast pace. Two, defensively, Kentucky needs a coach who can contain the high pick and roll. Three, a coach with a viable recruiting plan to alter Kentucky's image as a one-and-done factory and create older teams with greater roster continuity. Four, a coach with a personality that embraces the big top circus that is Kentucky basketball. A coach secure enough in what he believes not to wobble when things get rough in one of the most scrutinized coaching jobs in American sports. And five, a coach who can return the Kentucky Wildcats program to winning like Kentucky is accustomed to winning, and doing so in what is a far more competitive SEC than the Wildcats have faced traditionally. Those five reasons are why Mark Story believes that Bruce Pearl should be Kentucky's top candidate for the job. And again, I think it's interesting that there's been radio silence from Bruce Pearl since
Sunday night. We saw him throughout the tournament. Saw him throughout the tournament. Have not heard anything from him, and that's got to be a little concerning. And
interesting,
if you're an Auburn fan.
And usually, I mean, hasn't there been? I guess it would be press opportunities where, like, when Trey went in the portal, did Auburn put out a statement, or was he asked about it at a press conference? Wasn't there? I feel like Bruce had some media opportunity. I feel like
last time. We had an opportunity with Bruce. Was that sort of exit?
Oh, so maybe it was. So not since the guys have gone to the portal,
no,
right?
There hasn't.
Hasn't there been? For some reason, I wanted to say even KD. He'd said something about KD being in the portal, but maybe I'm confusing that with. But anyways.
No, maybe there was one. Maybe there may have been one that I wasn't able to get to.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I just thought it was interesting that we have not heard from him since the Kentucky job opened up, and B, since Aiden Holloway went in the portal. Like, those are two things, and not that those two things are related in any way, but it is. I think the radio silence from Bruce over the last couple of days.
I'm thinking maybe he was on Tiger Talk.
That's probably what it is. So he has spoken to the media, but again, that's not since Sunday,
right?
In light of Bryce,
since the Kentucky job became apparent.
Yeah.
It became apparent that it was going to be open.
Since the lifetime deal with John Calipari expired, thankfully John Calipari is still with us.
Sort of like Meatloaf praying for the end of time.
That's another Meatloaf.
That's what Kentucky fans were. Two Meatloaf references in a week.
In a week. Yeah, a lot of Meatloaf lyrics getting cited on the show this week. But I would think that we'll see what happens. I would totally understand why.
If Kentucky calls you, yeah. I think wherever you are, you listen.
I mean, people are talking about Dan Hurley listening with Kentucky mm-hmm. calls, and he's just won two national championships in a row. So I would certainly understand why anyone calls when one of the bona fide superpowers can is Bruce a candidate for the job? I don't know.
Why would he not be?
People have made compelling cases as to why Kentucky why a coach like Bruce Pearl would be exactly what Kentucky needs.
There's no question. I mean, anyone. Well,
now he'd be leaving.
I could go to some crazy extremes, but I can't imagine any Auburn person that wouldn't desperately want Bruce to stay.
Oh, sure. Oh no, I think that's why Kentucky would want him in part.
Sure,
is because he has unified the fan base.
Made Auburn basketball relevant.
Yes.
Auburn basketball was the worst.
And I could see why Kentucky would look. It's interesting when we're talking about Kentucky, when we're talking about the coaches that we're talked about in the segment, whether it's Bryce Drew at Baylor, whether it's Nate Oates at Alabama, whether it's Bruce Pearl at Auburn. You could even say Billy Donovan in Florida to a degree, right? Like a coach who takes a place and makes it care about basketball
to heights never known before.
Right. When you can turn a fan base that is indifferent about basketball into a basketball-crazed fan base because of whether it's your personality or your ability to attract players or your ability to win, like these things, it's absolutely – it would make sense that's the next step for you is to take that show to a place like Kentucky. And that's why Bryce Drew makes sense as a candidate. It's why Billy Donovan makes sense as a candidate. It's why Nate Oates made sense as a candidate until he put out his statement. And as painful as it would be for Auburn folks, it absolutely is why Bruce Pearl makes sense as a potential candidate for the University of Kentucky.
Love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. A half an hour to go here on this rainy Wednesday.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls, and let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and Bill is next. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. First of all, I really don't want to see Coach Pearl leave.
Amen.
But at the same time, it's like when Tubby Smith was at Georgia and Vince Dooley giving him his opportunity to be a head coach in the SEC, and he – it was tough for him to, but he talked to Coach Dooley, and you know that's a tough job to turn down.
Mm-hmm. No question about it.
And I went to school at Auburn, but my mom was a UK graduate, so I always followed Kentucky basketball. But in course, in the last, I guess the last 6-7 years since the Willie Cauley-Stein team that went undefeated. They lost to, I think, Wisconsin. That one and done thing's kind of worn out now, and like you and Dan have just been talking about, the mixture of top recruits and some older players, like Coach Pearl has been doing, is exactly what Kentucky probably needs. It's called a fresh approach. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I hope he doesn't go, but I think you guys have hit something on the head. I don't know. I just it sounds like, yeah, I mean, you guys follow it. Doesn't that sound exactly what they need? A mixture of top recruits with some older players.
I see the logic in, if you've won somewhere that doesn't have Kentucky's opportunities and Kentucky's resources, and especially if you've shown the ability to recruit top talent and your talent, top talent that fits what you do. If you've shown the ability to get that going,
and Auburn and Kentucky have gone head to head on a few guys, and Bruce, you know, Bruce hasn't lost them all.
Yeah, I mean, when you've shown the ability to do that, I can understand why it can get the rival thinking. Well, you know what? Maybe that's the guy that needs to lead us.
Yeah, I think Coach Calipari is an incredible basketball coach, but I think his approach had gone a little stale. And I believe that now they beat us this year, but that was probably the best they've ever played all year. But Bruce's Coach Pearl, I should say, his approach has been to mix a little youth with a little bit of age, mm-hmm. that's gone real well. And I'll be honest with you, I think that's exactly what Kentucky needs. I just hope it's not by the avenue of taking.
I absolutely hope you're right. I mean, Kentucky, before the transfer portal, it was it worked much better at Kentucky. They had just more talent than you did, and it was very rare that you were going to have a team that had that combination of talent and experience to be able to beat them. And they were at least getting much deeper in the tournaments, and you'd see them expected to, you know, be a preseason top five team every single year.
One thing that I don't know if people, when NIL was introduced, I don't know if people thought that you would see college basketball players, top tier college basketball players, exhausting their eligibility and looking for the best opportunity. I think people thought it might keep some one and dones in school for another year, but I think the impact it's had on the veterans available, you know, the seniors that are available in college basketball now compared to a couple years ago, that teams can go get in the portal. Guys like Dalton Connect and Mark Sears and Jani Broome, you know, those aren't players that John Calipari was after with his strategy. And as the sport changes, I think more and more people are starting to question that.
And the sport did change, and I think his approach went stale. And Bruce's approach has been successful. And I remember that, like Bill, I mean, and Dan, you probably remember it too, but I can remember Auburn basketball was atrocious. But for Coach Pearl to take it to where it's been, it's an incredible feat. I don't care what you say. I mean, Alabama had C.M. Newton, and he certainly had a great success there. And they've had, you know, that thing. But anyway, that's my thought, and I enjoy the show.
Appreciate the call, Bill. As you were saying a while ago, I mean, there's no reason why Bruce Pearl doesn't
the risk
make a lot of sense. I mean, I see where Jay Billis also said that Bruce Pearl's a name that he would call.
I would say there's the same sort of risk that's there for Scott Drew or Nate Oates, in that you have built something and you've built a ton of goodwill.
You're on the path, you're the main face on the Mount Rushmore of basketball at your school. You are the legendary figure.
Something could be named after you someday if you continue winning the way you're winning at your current school. Do you want to risk or jeopardize that in order to win at a place that has historically, or in order to go to a place that has historically won more than where you currently are? That would be the question for Scott Drew. That'd be the question for Nate Oates. And unfortunately, as we've talked about the last couple segments, that would also be the question for Bruce Pearl, who I think is, I would believe the reports that if Kentucky gets a firm no from Dan Hurley and a firm no from Scott Drew and a firm no from Billy Donovan, at least, and I don't know if Bruce Pearl is definitely behind all three of those guys, but if they get firm no's from all three of those guys, I do wonder if Bruce Pearl would be seriously considered.
Well, it's just hard to imagine that they wouldn't contact him, just to gauge interest and see how things go. And it is, as we said, it's a little uncomfortable that we haven't heard anything.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say that's, as someone who is hopeful that Bruce Pearl continues to coach at Auburn and enjoys the work he's done so far, and to Bill's point, I remember when that arena was when it was a lot easier to get, when it was a lot easier.
Anybody
to get,
could sit anywhere.
Yeah, I was there. Not an exaggeration to say, in the Jeff Lebo era, and I know it got worse after I left town, Bill, but in the Lebo era, on a Saturday night in January or February, if it wasn't Bama or Kentucky, if Auburn was hosting a game at 6 o'clock, you could walk in at 5:55 and sit very close to the floor.
As
a student, you could roll in right before the game starts and have your choice of excellent seats in a way that is unrecognizable.
Oh, there would be people looking to give tickets away
Oh, certainly.
Trying to sell. It's like, here, take these.
And I mean,
you want to go?
Student. I mean, you're getting in free with a student ID. I mean, so it was a question of could you find anybody without one that would need to pay money for a ticket? But yeah, I mean that's watching LSU with basically a courtside seat, the Billy Donovan. I mean, the Billy Donovan Gators came in and brought a crowd. You mm-hmm. know, the champion team. But yeah. but often there was a. It's a top five Pittsburgh team that came in one year with Aaron Gray, who played in the NBA for like a decade, and we were right there behind the Auburn bench. Like it was remarkable, and it's nothing like it is now. And so much of that can be directly traced to Bruce Pearl.
Absolutely, he has brought Auburn basketball to a place where I can't imagine anyone. In their wildest dreams, thought they'd see Auburn basketball competing consistently like this.
To get back to where we started, it's not just trolls and Alabama fans
suggesting
that Bruce Pearl could be a candidate for the Kentucky job.
334-321-1390. Is Bill back with us? Yes. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, I got sidetracked, and I forgot to mention something as I was trying to wind down there. But the if you can win at Auburn in basketball after the history we have, there's been some good coaches. Bill Lynn, certainly,
Joel Eaves was an excellent coach.
But it's pretty much been you know what I'm talking about.
Well, you'd be very fortunate if every few years you'd be able to be good enough to hope that you could get postseason play. I mean, Sonny did, it was unprecedented when Sonny got Auburn to, multiple tournaments consecutively. But, I mean, Auburn has been competing for SEC titles over the last few years.
Right.
Auburn has not done that since the days of Joel Eaves, 60 plus years ago.
I guess the point I was trying to get to, not like I apologize for having to call back, but I got sidetracked, is that if you can win at this level at Auburn with our basketball pedigree, you can go to Kentucky and do a lot. And that's, I hope that doesn't happen. I work on campus, and I enjoy it. Coach Pearl, he's so accessible. Every time you see him, he's always says hello.
It's so fun to play this game when you're talking about somebody else's coach.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah.
It's not fun.
Scott Drew.
Nate Oates.
Yeah, Nate Oates. Hey, wait a minute. Bruce Pearl?
By the way, since somebody hit on that, I've been amazed that I'm just going to, and some people aren't going to like this, but I'm just going to say, I think, regardless of what I think of the guy, Nate Oates is a very good basketball coach. If you can go to Alabama and do what he did, you could go to Kentucky and do the same thing and multiply that by twice.
Oh, this year, Nate Oates had to replace, they had nine new players and a completely new staff. All three of his full-time assistants got head coaching jobs. So a new staff, nine new players, and you go to the Final Four.
And you replace a lottery pick.
That's right, in
Brandon Miller. I mean, one of your players, you're not just replacing nine guys. One of them.
How scary would Alabama have been this year had Charles Bediako stayed?
So that being said, guys, how could Nate Oates be that crazy turn a blind eye to Kentucky
off. I'm wondering what he's waiting for. I'm thinking Bama. Now we know some of the terms of the new Nate Oates contract. When Michigan and Ohio State looked like they were going to open up a month ago, I think Bama made their move. And whatever move they made,
it's locked him down at least for now.
It's enough to keep. I mean, if it's enough to keep Bama, if it's enough to keep Michigan, I mean, look, he was a highly successful
in Detroit
high school basketball coach in Michigan, and it would have been a grand slam home run if the University of Michigan had been able to hire him away from Alabama, and Alabama made their move a month ago to keep him from taking those jobs seriously, and I'm sure whatever they did, it's good enough to ward off Kentucky too.
Okay. Well, I was going to say that I thought Kentucky would, you know, Kentucky would come up with the money.
Sure.
But if we, but it's like Vince Dooley told Cubby Smith when he was at Georgia, because Cubby had a, you know, having Coach Dooley giving him an opportunity, and in the interview, Coach Cubby Smith said, Vince Dooley told him, you can go to Kentucky and win a national championship. I'm not sure about you can do that here. And to a lesser degree, I think that's true at Alabama. And that's not taking away from where the season they had. They had a great season, and I give them credit for that. I'm also glad they got beat, but I will give them credit for the season they had. But Nate Oates of Kentucky would really be scary. That's just my final thought.
Well, I mean, I see what you mean. I do think that once you take a good team to the Final Four, I think you've shown the ability to assemble a roster that can go deep enough in tournament play. And both Bruce Pearl and Nate Oates have now done that at their respective schools. Is it less challenging? Are aspects of it less challenging? Assembling that roster, convincing guys?
Should be.
Convincing the best players. Yeah, you would think so. And that's where we are now, waiting for Kentucky to decide who the right man for the job is.
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, really interesting and hopefully not too nerve-wracking following this story. We'll get to our final break. Still time for you to join in the last 10 minutes or so here on the Wednesday Drive.
Nominations online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final segment here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. And, we were just talking here during the break, and you were checking Bruce's social media, right?
Yeah, you know, just seeing, you know, the Twitter account and Bruce, nothing new from Bruce, you know, certainly no sort of statement reaffirming the way you've seen, you know, other coaches, you know, the Nate Oates
that have been mentioned there with the Kentucky job.
I mean, he did post something about Tiger Giving Day, which is today,
right?
A worthwhile cause, by
Absolutely.
The way. Glad we can tell folks to seek out whatever you can, seek out and give whatever you can give for a lot of worthy causes related to Auburn University.
Wouldn't you say Bruce has a pretty good hand right now? He's in pretty good position as far as bargaining chips?
Yes. We don't know if any negotiating is going on behind the scenes.
No, but I mean, you know, Auburn has not done anything yet about the practice facility, and you know, he'd been saying, you know, NIL is more of a concern than that is. He said that preseason. Right now, I would think that it would be very beneficial for Bruce to be assured that whatever he wants,
there have been some recruiting battles in the last 2 years or so where Bruce has lost the player he wanted to a more traditional basketball power, which one would think, you know, some of that might be related to NIL commitments and what have you. So, yeah, I mean, maybe there is a maybe Bruce sees this as an opportunity to improve his position, no matter where he coaches next.
But he's been around. He was. I mean, Auburn's worked out, practiced a little. You know, Jason was talking about that, the fact that that Janai and Dylan were there when they were working out, and you know, folks that I think JG Tate talking about them being there, and I believe in one of the pictures. I mean, yeah, Bruce was there, so it's like not like he hasn't been around. It's just interesting, I guess, that either there hasn't been an opportunity to ask him about that, or because other coaches have been able to be contacted.
Speaking of announcements, Janai Broome has until, I believe the timeline we're working on with Janai is that he has until the end of the month. It's either the 27th or the 28th. There is a deadline to declare for the NBA draft. Because Janai Broome has already dipped his toe into the draft waters twice and come back to college basketball, that is the only deadline for him. If he is in the draft by April 27th, then he is in the NBA draft this year and his college basketball career is over. If he is not in the draft on April 27th, then he is returning to college basketball for one more season.
I would sure hope that we know before then. I think Auburn would really, really like to know before then.
A lot of the best posts in the transfer portal will make a decision or at the very least use several of their offers between now and then. And if Auburn is without Jahni Broom, it could put them in a difficult spot trying to recruit his replacement. If Auburn has Jahni Broom, they go into next season with a first-team All-American and one of the best posts in college basketball.
One thing Bruce Pearl has been doing is recruiting. I mean, Auburn has had J.P. Pegues in, looking to get Miles Rice in, looking to add one of those guys, and I would think another player there to try to handle the point next year. So that's something that has been and will continue to go on.
My guess would be, my guess would be they're looking for a veteran, a veteran to take the lion's share of the minutes, maybe add a young player or somebody who would be willing to understudy for a year.
Right.
With the hope that he could take over the starting job in 2024, after the 2024 season, if they can pull that off.
Fun show, another fun show here during the stormy weather. You had a thunderclap right as the music started. I thought that was pretty cool. Be careful if you're out and about this evening. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell for joining us in hour number one. Tomorrow we're back. Don't forget Friday. Make your plans. Friday looks like the weather's going to be gorgeous, and we will be at Baumhauer's on Friday. But we're back in the studio tomorrow, so we'll talk to you then. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.